Jason and Tammy Starnes, and back before all the restrictions and stuff with COVID, Tammy's mother, Bobby, would come. I know many of you saw, and many of you may not have seen this week on our group me, our prayer chain, where Miss Bobby was hospitalized with pneumonia. I don't know exactly where her room is, but a couple days prior to that, my mother was hospitalized with pneumonia. So I just want us to pause, and I want to ask you guys to pray along with me for my mother. Her name's Wanda, and then for Miss Bobby. You know, it's tough when you can't breathe. You know, we can put up with a lot of stuff, but when it's hard to breathe, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. So if you would just pray with me for Wanda and Miss Bobby. Father, we thank you again for this time. Lord, one of your promises in your word is that we get to come to your feet with our concerns and our worries and our needs. So we pause right now, God, to pray for Wanda and pray for Bobby as Lord, they're dealing with pneumonia and the issues that causes in their lungs and with their heart. And Lord, we just ask for a special touch upon them right now. Lord, your word also tells us that you are the physician, you're the great healer. So Lord, we believe that, and we're asking now for the healer's hands to be upon their lungs and upon their hearts in this moment. And for Tammy and their family, and for myself and our family, Lord, I just pray also that you'll provide us with the understanding and peace and comfort as our loved ones are dealing with being hospitalized. So Father, again, we love you and we thank you. We realize, God, that you and only you have the power. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We pray all this in your mighty and holy name. Amen. Thank you for doing that with me. As I was listening to the praises, and I was thinking about, you know, our Operation Christmas Child, 70 boxes, our DSS children, we did 25 of those. And then Renee mentions the, Angel Tree and all. I was reading this past week. Anybody ever heard of the Barna Research? Barna Research does a lot of stuff that often includes religious entities in their research. But what they said is that around the world, or globally, during this season of Christmas, that 70% of all the needs that are met, 70% of all the giving is done by Christian people. 70%. That's a staggering number. So when we talk about being a light into a dark world, that's just one way we do that, folks. So I say that to say this. Thank you for just your generosity. If you think the message last week, right? Sometimes generosity is in the money and it is the things, but it really comes from where? Right here. The reason Christians give 70% of those needs is because Christ lives in us. So I just wanted to say thank you. So this morning, the Christmas season, if you haven't picked up on it already, is with us. And that's okay, right? And very similar to last year and even the year before, the world we live in now is different. I don't know that it's going to go back. What's the saying? The new normal is now, right? but can I say this? Different doesn't have to dictate or change the way we prepare for this special time of the year. Amidst the busyness of the holidays, guess what? It's easy to get overwhelmed, isn't it? Anybody already had an event? Or two, or three, right? We get overwhelmed sometimes with all the preparations for meals and the preparations for events. All the shopping. Y'all, I'm going to stop right there a minute. Colby's laughing too because he knows. So we shop for 25 kids, and I always say, well, just, you know, distribute them out, and then, you know, I'm going to shop, but give me what's left. Y'all, I had a 9-year-old girl, a 8-year-old girl, and a 4-year-old girl. And I ain't got girls other than Noelle. So you should have seen me and Brady in the Wally World the other day trying to buy for girls. So next year I'm getting first. No, I'm just kidding. But it can be overwhelming. I think we might have been in there 3 hours, y'all. All this stuff can overwhelm us, though, right? I mean, it really can. When we get overwhelmed, it's because we find ourselves doing what? Things outside of what we would normally do. The reason we don't get overwhelmed in normal day-to-day life is that's our routine, isn't it? Well, can I just, another time out here? We're not challenged as Christians to stay in the routine. We're challenged as Christians to go outside the box, go outside the normal, to break the routine. And I say this all the time, and you're going to find this out here shortly when I mention what we're going to preach on, or I'm going to preach on today. But I just love how God does things. I just love how He works. And if you look at and you study God and you study Jesus and you study the Holy Spirit, guess what? He doesn't do things the way we would consider normal. Matter of fact, he very rarely operates in that realm of normalcy. It's usually outside that realm. And that's what we're challenged as Christians to be like. So this year I want to encourage you, all that stuff that can consume you and bog you down, just take those things in stride. And you say, what do you mean by that? The culture we live in, those are events and those meals and all those things. Guess what? That's part of who we are. That's part of our culture. That's part of how we celebrate Christmas. That's part of how we do what we do. But don't let them bog you down and consume you. Take them in stride. Remain, however, focused on the real reason for the season. That's why this morning I think the Holy Spirit led Jackie and Brady to, man, right off the bat, we're just going to hit you, right, with worshipful Christmas songs about our Savior, about our King. Don't get sidetracked. Remain focused on the real reason for the season. And allow the anticipation of Christ, the advent of Christ, to motivate you and drive you towards a real celebration, an authentic celebration. Not just at the events, not even just here, not even just in life, but a real celebration that is felt deep in your heart, deep in your soul. And since the past few years have been different, I want to use that concept or that idea of different to look at a few passages this month of December that we wouldn't normally consider part of the traditional timeless Christmas stories that we read about and that we find in Matthew and Luke. Perhaps the best place to begin is not actually at the manger, but with a description of why the humble birth of an obscure Jew in an insignificant Jewish town means so much to so many. Every year come December, faithful believers around the world remember with awe and adoration the birth of Jesus and are reminded that His birth stands as full evidence that Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, and He descended from heaven and became human, get this, not just so we could go to that manger or have that manger, that image in our mind, but He became human for our salvation. And while we may not fully understand this reality, it's very important for us to remember more than just the story of His birth. It's important for us to examine why Jesus is so special. Historically speaking, man has always sought after God. We have long desired to connect with Him and reach Him in some way. In fact, if you really study man's history, all throughout history, there's this existence of something we call religion. Well, you know why religion exists? Because man or mankind desires what? A relationship with God. Okay? So you must know, however, that God, in his love for man, his love for the greatest of his creation, God is the one who first reached out to us. Just think first of Adam and Eve in the garden. God, the Bible says, the Word of God says this, that in that moment that God communicated with them. It says he walked with them. You see, it was God who first reached out to us. And if you remember Moses, y'all remember Moses, right? God used Moses and the Ten Commandments to reveal just a little bit of who he is. Okay? Now, we call that the law. But God communicated through the law, through Moses, to people. God also used, if you study that history, people like Abraham, people like Isaac, people like Jacob, to do what? To lead and communicate with his people. And today, according to Hebrews, it is Jesus who God has chosen to use for communicating with us. And I want to read that to you. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. What does it say? Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. You see, it's God who first communicated with us. And now today, it's Jesus who desires to communicate with us. Along with these words found here, we should also understand that God made the ultimate connection to us, to mankind, when Jesus became flesh. Remember when Moses wanted to see the face of God? Do y'all remember that? He saw the burning bush. He says he's going to turn to the side and hope that he could see. But what did God say? Don't look over here. There's a reason God didn't want him to look over there. But God would not allow Moses to see him. He would not allow him to fully experience God in that moment. But this is a truth, and some of y'all are going to laugh at me. You're going to say, well, you're a preacher. You should have realized that truth years ago. But this is a truth that just hit me this week. But when Jesus was laying in the manger, and Mary and Joseph and the people there and the people who traveled there to see him in that moment, guess what? They were able to look at the face of God. They were able to look at the face of God. Man, what a privilege. What a privilege. You look through history and you say, man, I wish I could have lived through that event. Boy, that's one of the events. Man, I wish I could have been there. But here's my question. Would I have known? Would I have known? Most people did not. But those who knew, those in their heart who knew that that little baby was the Messiah, and they went to see him and were able to look at his face, saw God face to face. Today we need to consider some reasons why the Word became flesh. So if you read this in Sunday school, then maybe God's trying to tell you something, because we're going to read it again. John 1, 1 through 18. It'll be on the screen if you got it on your phone or if you got your Bible with you. Read with me these very powerful words from John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines where? In the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." 13 says, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.'" Verse 16, "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Jesus became flesh to reveal God's glory to us. Verses 14 and 15 of what we read, what you'll find is that God used Jesus to show us his glory. If you think back again to Moses when the glory of God was shining on his face and Moses went to speak to his people, what did he have to do? He had to cover it. Now Moses couldn't see that because it was on him. But those who were looking at him, they couldn't see it either. They wouldn't have been able to handle it. So Moses had to cover his face. God's glory is something that man, up until the birth of Jesus, did not have complete and full access to. See, up until Jesus, it was just a bit and a portion. There's my favorite word again. Just a smidge of God's glory. But can I ask this? What is glory? How do you define glory? Well, in our language, in our modern terminology today, you know what glory means? It means splendor or majesty. So when we refer to God's glory, the best way we can describe it is to say God's majesty, God's splendor. But can I just say this? It really is something that is indescribable. And as we have already talked about this morning, is untouchable. However, the reason we are able to see and experience the glory of God lies with Jesus himself. God became flesh. And it says, and dwelt among us. Let me say it this way. God, through Jesus, changed his nature so that he could take on ours, minus the sin. And then he did what? Dwelt. You know what that word dwelt means? To pitch a tent. Pitch a tent is something that's temporary. In other words, he pitched a tent in our world so that we could see him and experience him to the fullest forever. So he pitched a tent in a temporary manner so that we could experience something in a permanent manner. Whew, isn't God good? Isn't God good? God became embodied in the flesh so that he could make himself easier to understand You ever had somebody say that? What? I just can't understand the Bible, especially that King James Version. That thing's hard to read, right? Well, Jesus became flesh so that it would be easier for us to understand who he is. Who he is. He became embodied in the flesh to make himself easier to understand and also to make himself approachable. Remember what Moses said? I'm going to turn to my side because I want to see. I want to come and see. And God said, no, you cannot. And you remember the Israelites? They were led through the wilderness by that same glory, that same Shekinah glory. It was in a cloud, not on his face. But they were led by this cloud. You know why it was a cloud? Because they couldn't look at it. There had to be something there to sort of hide it a little bit and protect it, or protect them from seeing it in its fullness, in its completeness. So when we see the glory of God, here's what ought to happen. It ought to do something to us. Do you think it did something to Moses? Do you think it did something to the Israelites in that wilderness, even though they couldn't see it all, but they saw that glow in the cloud? Do you think it did something to Isaac? Do you think it did something to Jacob? Absolutely. So when we see God's glory, let me say it this way. When we see Jesus Christ in his fullness, in his greatness, in his majesty, it ought to do something to us. It ought to change us. When we read this word, when we read this word, we see Jesus all through it, all through every bit, from the first in the beginning to the end of the beginning we just read till we get to, starting tonight, the very last chapter of Revelation. We see Jesus. We see the glory of God shown to us and revealed to us in all of it, in all of it. We see the glory of God through Jesus, and Jesus was revealed to us through his word. As people saw the Christ child, Mary saw her child for the first time. Do you think it changed her? Joseph saw their child for the first time. Do you think it changed him? Y'all know the story of the Magi. We don't know how many they are. It just says they come from the east. We don't know exactly where they come from. But when they got there a couple years later and they saw the Christ child, do you think it changed them? As people saw that Christ child, it had to change them. And now when we connect with Jesus, guess what it ought to do to us? It ought to change us. Now, I'm not being ugly to you, but if you're sitting here in your profession that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but there's no tangible change occurred in your life, we might have a problem. Next, Jesus became flesh to reveal God's gifts to us. Boy, we love Christmas, right? It's all about gifts, at least for most people. It's all about the gifts, right? But if you go back to verses 16 and 17, what you'll see there from these verses is that we receive the gifts of grace and truth from God through Jesus. You see, in verse 17, John tells us that the law came through Moses. But grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ. See, before the crucifixion, Pilate asked Jesus this question: what is truth? Jesus is the truth that all the types, all the shadows, all the symbols from the Old Testament pointed to. Jesus is the truth. He is the picture of truth. God not only talks to man about himself, God shows man what he is like in the person of Jesus Christ. Man can look at Jesus and see a perfect picture of God. You say, well, that's great. What about that law part? Right? See, the law revealed the truth that man could not get to God by his own merit. The law only gave us a glimpse of God. Jesus gave us a full picture of God. The law showed us the truth about God's justice. Break the law, pay the price. Aren't you glad that that's not the case anymore? The law showed us that we couldn't make it to heaven on our own merit. This is the truth that was revealed through Jesus Christ. The religious leaders of Jesus' day couldn't grasp the real truth. They thought that they could get to heaven because of their own goodness or their own righteousness. Guess what? Many today still believe that. Many today still teach that. When we look at Jesus, it forces us to see even the truth of ourselves. We see that we are not as perfect as we may think we are. Now that's an individual thing, but I'm going to bring it corporately. The bride of Christ, the church of Christ. If we truly look to Jesus, we truly look at Jesus, guess what happens? We see the truth of who we really are. And the church of Christ in the world we live in right now, in many ways, is fooling themselves. And they're nowhere near as perfect as we sometimes think we are. I'm going to make this. That's why we got denominations, by the way. Because this one over here says, well, we more right than you are. And that one says, well, no, you're not. You get this wrong, but we get this right, so that makes us more right. And then you get talking in these circles about who's right and who's wrong and all this stuff. And all it ends up boiling down to is your eyes are off Jesus and you're not seeing what is the case and what is really true, and you're fooling yourself into believing something that is false. The only way we ever achieve perfection is through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. That's why I caution us as Mount Freedom Baptist Church, in everything we say and do, it has to start with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything. We also receive a gift that the law could not and did not provide. Grace. Grace. Boy, I'm glad for grace, y'all. I lost count this week of how many times I needed grace. I also lost count of how many times this week I needed to extend grace. You see, grace is unmerited favor. And since the law showed us we cannot possibly make it to heaven on our own, guess what we got to have? Unmerited favor. Grace from God, Jesus in the flesh, to get us there. Where the law was weak, God's grace is strong. Where the law proved to be insufficient, the grace of God is sufficient. Grace says, I know you will not be perfect, so I'll go ahead and make up the difference if you'll just belong to me. <Mm-mm. clears throat> Romans 8, verses 3 through 4. It ought to be familiar to you, but let's read it. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. I'm going to stop right there. When Jesus came as the flesh, guess what was strengthened? The flesh. Not our flesh, but his flesh, in such a way that we could be saved from our sin. It says, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those are some powerful words from Paul to remind us of what? That little baby in the manger He didn't just come to be all cute and cuddly. He come with a very, 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 very important purpose. To save us from ourselves. To save us from sin. Ephesians 2:8 reminds us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." Jesus Christ was a gift, folks. And we get so bogged down into receiving gifts this time of year. And we often fail to realize that the greatest gift ever given was Him. Can I say this about the law? You know what it was? Law was about do. D-O. Go and do. And if you don't do, this is what you get. But grace is a past tense. It's about what's done. D-O-N-E. Done. The grace of God can change the world. When Paul experienced the grace of God, guess what? He changed. And I'm not even going to take the time to go through his history because y'all know it as well as I do. He was the worst of the worst, but God made him the best of the best. When you experience God's saving grace, you too will be a changed person. You too will be a changed person. Verse 18 says that Jesus became flesh to reveal God to us. And I've hit this a lot already, so I'll be real brief. But through Jesus, we get to see the fullness of God. Through Jesus, we see the real God, the true God. You see, God didn't fully reveal himself through the law. The only way that you can truly find God is through Jesus Christ. People can change and the world can change, but only when they look to the Savior. Only when they see the face of God and experience His glory can it be changed. Everybody sitting here, I know it. I just know it in my spirit. Call me a, I don't know, what do you call those people that can foretell the future? Based off the, everybody sitting here said, "I don't like our world, boy. I wish it would change." You know how it'll change? When people start seeing Jesus. When they come to know Jesus and they see the real God, the true God, the fullness, the completeness of God. Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that as we behold the glory of God, that we ourselves are being transformed into the image of God. I've said this a lot through this past year. And I don't know what phrase or I don't know what mission statement God will give me for 2023, but this year has been surrounded around this fact. Embrace your salvation. Embrace it. It's the most precious thing that you've ever been given. It's not just a ticket out of hell, folks. It's so much more. It's so much more. Embrace who you are in Christ Jesus. Now grace allows us to not be perfect. But we don't do it on purpose. It's just who we are in our nature. But as we just talked about, Christ came and replaced our nature with His. That's how we can walk around and say, "Hey, I'm a failure in the eyes of man, but I'm perfect in the eyes of God." Embrace your salvation. Embrace your Savior. Embrace who He is turning you into. And I say it that way to say, stop fighting it. Anybody just dislike change? Y'all know me. I'm going to change you if I can. In good ways. But as part of who we are as people, we don't like to be changed. We like everything to stay status quo, but as we started today's message, God doesn't work in the status quo. He works outside of that, and He wants you to work outside of that. So guess what? If He's changing you, don't fight it, embrace it, and live in it. Grab a hold of it, and allow Him to be what He wants you to allow Him to be inside you. It's a lot of allows in there, isn't it? I keep using that word because that's how it is. You have to say, I'm saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And you really, really have to believe that, accept that, and walk in that, not just on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday, but every day. Every day. When you ponder baby Jesus, that little child that's laying in that manger, what do you see? Do you just see that cute little baby all cuddled up right there? Or do you really see the face of God? Do you stand in awe of Him? Or do you just see God? Do you see Jesus? Do you see your salvation as this cute little adorable trinket that might have been wrapped up under a tree at some point in time in your life? Why did God send Jesus? To change the world. Not just the world, though, Dwight. You. One life at a time. Y'all heard of C.S. Lewis. He wrote this little book called Mere Christianity. This is what he said in that book. The Son of God became man to enable men to become sons of God. God in the flesh. Jesus in the flesh. Man can become a son of God because the Son of God became a man. And the way we get people to want to become like us, the way we get people to want to become a Christian, guess what? Is they got to see God in our face. They got to see God through us. And if you say, well, you just don't know who I really am. And I'm not being ugly when I say this. If you give your life to Christ, I don't care who you think you really am. I'm more concerned about who Jesus is making you to be. And that's what I want to see. And that goes for me. Y'all didn't know I could rhyme, did you? Embrace your salvation. Embrace your salvation. Allow your thankfulness to pour out of you every day because of what He's done. As Christmas approaches, I want you to remember, take all that stuff in stride. Stay focused on the greatest gift that you've ever been given. This season is not about what we can get from someone else. But might I suggest it be more about what gift you will give to Him. What gift you will bring to Him. Perhaps it's a more dedicated heart. Or perhaps it's just simply your life. Perhaps it's your praise and worship. Perhaps it's waking up tomorrow morning and saying, you know what? Jesus, today's your day. I'm going to do it your way, not my way. And then let the light and the face of Christ shine through you. I don't know how God may have spoken to you this morning. I don't know how God might speak to you through this season. Brady's going to play a song. there's no words or anything up there, but I want you to listen to the song. As you listen to the song, if you need to do business with God, do business with God. But don't leave here different or leave here different than what you came. Don't leave here the same. Don't leave here looking at baby Jesus. Leave here looking at your Savior, the one who made it possible through grace to live with Him forever. Come if you need to. I'll be here. Otherwise, just worship. I selected that song this morning because of that one line. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. God with us. This season, remember that. God is with us all the time because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. Father, as we talked about this morning, we don't deserve it, but you are so gracious that you give us our life, a life with you forever. Lord, may we go and may we embrace that. May we make this Christmas season more about you than about us. Father, we love you now. We thank you. We pray all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.